I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The narrative that is a little annoying, and maybe Don and Peter agree with the narrative, I'm not quite sure, is, you know, Mahomes is the GOAT. Well, listen. He has the same amount of Super Bowls as Tom Brady had at the age of 28. There's still four more to go to tie the guy.
I know.
I mean, talk about like the bias of recency. What are we doing here? Do we have to make these proclamations all the time that this guy is the GOAT? We mentioned earlier, take a look at what Dan Marino used to do, what John Elway used to do, what Joe Montana did, what other great quarterbacks in the history of the game have done. Listen, this guy's one of the greatest. I don't think you're going out on a limb. But for anybody to say with such unbelievable certitude, he's now the GOAT. No, he's not. What if he never wins another Super Bowl? You've already seen cracks in this Kansas City team. Andy Reid is 65 years old. Who knows if he's going to coach another 5 years, 3 years? He said he's coming back to try to win three in a row, and that makes sense. But do you think he's going to be there for the next 10 years for Patrick Mahomes? I mean, they're fortunate. They got rid of Tyreek Hill, and they won two Super Bowls without him. But some of their skill position players are getting up there. Travis Kelce's getting up there. He's 34 years old. You're guaranteeing me that this guy's going to win five more Super Bowls to surpass Tom Brady? The greatness of Brady is that he did it till he was 45 and then won seven. This guy's won three. He has four more to get to Brady. To say he's the greatest. Now, you can say he has the greatest skill set you've ever seen. Well, that's debatable. But how could you have the audacity to say this guy's the greatest ever when there's a guy who's won four more Super Bowls and it happened only a couple of years ago?
I know. And all the other guys that weren't as successful in the postseason, but they weren't on the right team or they didn't play in the right era. There's so many things that work against the older guard, right? I don't know. You're telling me that if Dan Marino wasn't on the Kansas City Chiefs now, that maybe he'd be even better. Got through for 5,000 yards at the age of 23 back in 1984, Michael, when nobody else was throwing for 3,000. Like, so would Dan Marino hurt Kansas City's chances of winning a Super Bowl? Would Fran Tarkenton's chances be upgraded playing for the Kansas City Chiefs as opposed to the Minnesota Vikings back in the day? It's not equal. Right now, he is the best quarterback in recent vintage, probably right there with Tom Brady. But you're just going to judge it on how good the overall team's been when they've got a defensive coordinator that's won four Super Bowls. They've got Andy Reid who's going to go into the Hall of Fame. Travis Kelce that's going to go into the Hall of Fame. Before that, Tyreek Hill, who might end up in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't that count for something? Like, I don't know, would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes if he played in Carolina his whole career? And had five or six different coaches through his first 8 years? Listen, he's got a tremendous skill set, but to just blanketly say he's the best I've ever seen, that's strong, man.
Yeah, he's great. Don't get me wrong, but I subscribe to something that Jeff Van Gundy said on the show a long time ago. Comparison is the theft of joy. Why can't we just enjoy him? Why can't we just say, wow, this guy's really special, other than say he's better than Tom Brady? Now, I mean, listen, break down the skill sets of the guy. He probably has more skill than Tom Brady, but you know, also being able to compute and lead your team and win big games, there's something to that. Tom Brady was a great, 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 great player. To just hand the GOAT trophy over to this guy, I just think it's too soon, everybody.
Well, I get why you would say I've never seen anyone play like him.
Yeah.
Like he is just similar to the way people feel about Steph Curry. I get why you'd be like, I just never seen anyone do this. And furthermore, I think he will end up being the greatest of all time. But also, you could be the kind of person who doesn't use the winning metric in the same way. You know what I mean? Like, you could be someone who's still been holding on to the fact that you think Dan Marino's the greatest quarterback of all time because you don't care at all about Super Bowls. And if you're ready to say you don't think about it that way and you think based on the skills you've seen, Mahomes is the greatest. But if you're factoring in the fact that he won that Super Bowl yesterday, like, if the fact that Mahomes won the Super Bowl is part of your logic, then you're arguing against yourself that he can't have surpassed Brady. Because if it's about winning championships, he's got to win many more.
Now, he has three Super Bowl MVPs. Brady has five, by the way. Montana had three. Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, Eli Manning all had two. And he has a three in a five-season span. So he's doing stuff that's really special. But we're in such a hurry because we're in the hot take era. Oh, he's a GOAT. He's not the GOAT. Well, not yet. He's 28 years old. He's got a lot of football to play before he becomes the GOAT.
And guys, championships are kind of dicey too, because there's a lot of other things. As big as the quarterback is, and it's probably the single most important position in sports, it's still not the end-all, be-all. You got to be in the right circumstance. You got to have the right team. You have to have the right coach. John Elway is the perfect example of this. John Elway was a phenom. I mean, he was amazing. He could run. He had a gun for an arm, maybe one of the strongest arms I've ever seen. Smart quarterback, and then he was 0-for-3 in the Super Bowl when he was in his prime. And at the end of his career, he finally had weapons. He had Darrell Davis, who was a Hall of Famer, and then he wins two Super Bowls in the back end. Doesn't that tell you that the championships are kind of fugazi in that sense? He was way better a player younger in his career and couldn't get over the top. And then at the end of his career, with the right coach and the right system and the right guys around him, he was able to win back-to-back titles. So the circumstances have to be right. There's so many great quarterbacks that just weren't in the right situation. Especially back in the day, Michael, when you couldn't get out of the situation that you were in. And you were stuck there. And never had a chance to be as good as you could be.
Now, the numbers are, I mean, they're staggering for him, right? He's been a starting quarterback in the NFL for six seasons. He's been the four Super Bowls. He's won three of them. Never finished worse than the AFC title game. Both the AFC title game losses were in overtime. Both of them. He was a whisker away from appearing in six straight Super Bowls in his first seasons as a starter. He's on the road, but what happens if he blew out his arm tomorrow? Would you say he's the greatest of all time?
Well, I don't want to think it in that term, but you know, what if he plays even better? But for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. Like, we got to see how it plays out. I could tell you, Michael, he's not going to go to the championship game every year. As a matter of fact, this, what you saw over a larger sample size, believe it or not, probably tells you that they might be trending away from doing this again.
Unless they reload.
No, yeah, and they can. And what happens now in the era of free agency and in the salary cap, where free agency has become just so vitally important now, that you could see this as a destination. That there may be guys who will take pay cuts to play for Reed and Mahomes and go. And that helps keep it. I find it interesting that the one sport that really started parity on any given Sunday, you see more dominance in the NFL than you see in other sports. Yeah, it was the first time in 20 years we had back-to-back championships, but this is the first time, I mean, the last time that you saw an AFC championship game that didn't involve the Patriots or the Chiefs. You got to go back to the Jets-Steelers championship game of 2010. So it's really been two teams in this conference that have really dominated in a sport where it's supposed to be, hey, anybody's got a chance. And that's still true because there are teams that have been able to turn it around quickly. But is there another sport, guys, where it's basically the same handful of teams every single year? Even the NBA's opened it up more than the NFL has in recent vintage.
Yeah, they have not achieved the parity they want. I mean, any given year, most of the teams have a chance to make the playoffs, but not all of them have a chance to make the Super Bowl.
Because if you've got the coach and the quarterback, the way things are currently structured is that you're going to be good for a long time, barring like catastrophic injury. Now, Kansas City caught the break that the Jets couldn't take advantage of. What if Burrow stayed healthy all year? What if Trevor Lawrence was healthy all year? Like, there could have been other teams that could have been stumbling blocks for Kansas City that weren't because of the injuries that they suffered. I mean, they went through a tremendous path. They beat Buffalo and Buffalo and Baltimore and Baltimore. So it wasn't like they had an easy path by any stretch of the imagination. But what if Burrow was healthy?
Well,
Burrow is the only team that he went into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs a couple of years ago.
If you ask me right now, would you take the field or would you take Kansas City to go to Super Bowl? I take the field. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in the AFC. There's a lot of great teams. I take the field. One stumble.
Well, the thing is,
after Christmas, did you all think that Kansas City was going to win?
No.
When they got embarrassed? No.
No.
And I know, but here we are again. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's got. But Peter, it's so hard. And also, would you agree that the AFC West is going to be a lot stronger next year than it was this year? I mean, Harbaugh is going to have his fingerprints on Los Angeles.
Pierce.
Pierce, I think, is going to make the Raiders better, although not, I think, a contender, but at least a tough out the two times you have to play them. And then Sean Payton, a second year in Denver, I still think that they are going to be the best team, but the path could be a lot harder because their schedule could end up being tougher because I think the division's going to be tougher. And then Burrow comes back in Cincinnati. And what's Cleveland going to be if Watson ever is able to stay healthy? And Baltimore's not going anywhere. And Buffalo doesn't look like they're going anywhere. And what if Rodgers stays healthy this year coming up? It's there's tons of landmines in that conference.
Now, one quick thing, and we'll get your phone calls in a moment. We use this phrase a lot, reading the room. So Kansas City wins a thrilling Super Bowl in overtime. So I'm rifling through Twitter to see what people in the business are saying. And the Jets pop up and trumpet the fact that they have a new uniform that they're going to announce April of this year. Ugh. Read the room, man. Couldn't wait till today.
Honestly. Why so hot to do it?
So I got to be honest. When they change their uniform, I don't get it. I mean, are they all of a sudden wearing green and white stripes? I mean, it's not that different that you had to.
We don't know.
Minute after the Super Bowl was over, the confetti was still falling from the Allegiant Stadium roof, and you had to pump that out to the public. I mean, there are teams that just won a championship, and you're trumpeting the fact that you have a new uniform coming out. It's embarrassing.
Now, if you wait, as you said, a day, it's probably still going to get panned because it's the Jets, right? But like you said, read the room. What do you think the reaction's going to be? As Kansas City hasn't even left the field yet from winning a Super Bowl. Oh. A Super Bowl you thought you had a chance to win if Rodgers was healthy. And you're talking about new uniforms? It's like, dude, what are we doing here? Here's one level of the NFL where a team is celebrating a championship, and here's what you're focused on.
Did you just think of this, or did you see it? Did I just bring it up? It was stunning to me that you could have such a lack of clarity of the moment.
I couldn't believe that. I'm like, really? This is when you decide to launch it? And it's not even like you're showing. All you're telling you is, oh, we still have to wait until April 24th or whatever. And like you said, well, how much different? I don't know. Nobody has told me anything. I get, what are they going to just incorporate more black? I mean, that's usually what teams do. I mean, how much different can it be? Yeah, are they going to, if you're changing the color scheme, then that's catastrophic, right? Gangrene, the whole thing. But not doing that. It's just weird, right? It's almost like
Peter's.
You're talking about proposing to somebody at a wedding, like how awkward that is. But at least it's like if Peter announced a new podcast during Michael's wedding, what are you doing? Like, Peter, no offense, your ninth podcast just doesn't seem as important as Michael's wedding. Like, a team just celebrated a championship.
Now, I don't know if you're just brilliant or not, Don. Do you realize that today is my anniversary?
Oh, yeah.
My wedding was 13 years ago today. You're unbelievable.
And by the way, even more unbelievable, Don, I'm announcing a new podcast.
That's right. It was a day before my birthday, 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Wow. 13 years.
13. And you've accomplished a lot. Two children. Think about it.
That's it. That's about the extent.
That's really all I've accomplished.
Well, you didn't let me finish. Well, you accomplished a lot before the wedding because there was a very awkward moment at UBS, Michael. Peter,
yeah.
Because Dr. April was there. Dr. April's always there. And it was a pleasure
to
see him.
He's great, though.
And he's talking about somebody, a mutual friend of ours, and he kept saying multiple times, right, Michael, he got married late in life. He got married late in life. And I finally had to stop. He's like, what's late in life to you as you're talking to me and Michael? Oh, I think it was like 37. All right, stop.
Yeah, I told
who are you talking
hold
to?
Hold my beer.
I didn't get married late. I got married at 37, which is late.
Wait, hold on. Dr. Max was giving someone a married late in life at 37?
He's sitting next to Mr. 50-year-old.
By the way, come back to us, Dr. April. In this era, that is not late in life, especially in New York.
In Dr. April's defense, I don't think it was in this era. But read the room. You're talking to Michael, who got married at 50. Like, you know, it's just odd that he would keep referring to that. And if it was somebody that also had gotten married at 50, I guess it would make sense. But don't throw late 30s out.
News from Ed Werder. Rex Ryan did not get the defensive coordinator job with Dallas. Mike Zimmer is going to be their defensive coordinator. Now, I'm going to tell you the way Rex does his job on ESPN and why that's going to hurt him. He has, in the past, I mean, excoriated Mike McCarthy for being a terrible coach. Killed him. Killed him. Put all of the failures on Mike McCarthy. Now you go interview to be the guy's defensive coordinator. What was the chance you were getting that job?
Hey, it's not what you want.
That's why these guys, that I give Rex credit, these guys pull punches because they're worried about their next job. I don't know if Rex isn't savvy enough to worry about his next job, but if he wants to get back into coaching and is willing to be a defensive coordinator for somebody, you can't be hammering coaches like that. Mm. They're the ones that are going to decide.
I think he may be due for a Rexy baby come back to me moment.
Yeah, but, you know, give him credit.
Give him credit for doing his job.
Yeah, he's doing his job.
Other people are gutless.
You know,
I'm just surprised.
Yeah, but that's...
Like, if I ripped... So like, if there was an ensemble on radio, right? And I just ripped the person, the lead person on the ensemble. Killed him or her. Killed him. Constantly. They're the worst. No talent hack. Then one of the spots on their ensemble opened up, and I interviewed for the job. I mean, you really have to be, like... Well, you have to have cubes the size of, like,
honestly, to me, all due in one sense, I respect it. But in another sense, like, as a colleague at ESPN, I appreciate you bringing it as best you can. But if I'm his friend, I'd go, do you need to keep it that real with every place that you might want to go interview?
If I'm his agent.
If you know your preference, the second you get the opportunity is to ditch this taco stand and go right back, then maybe it's when keeping it real goes wrong.
But is the reality that Rex was very comfortable with this being his career? But then a job opens up and he's like, all right, I think maybe I'll give it one last shot. Like, I don't know if he knew that he was going to interview for a defensive coordinator's job 2 months ago. But the Cowboys job opens up. You know what? I think you still have to go for it. That's a mind-changing type of spot.
See, but here's what I would do. Like, if I was in Mike McCarthy's spot, I know what Rex said. I know there's not a chance in Hades that I would hire him. Oh, I'd bring him in, though. I'd make him think he's got a chance. Because that would be the ultimate stick it right to him. Maybe that's what Mike McCarthy did. He doesn't look like that type, but maybe he, too, like all normal people, has a laminated list. And Rex was on the laminated list, and what better way to really stick it? I mean, we saw it in politics. Remember when Donald Trump interviewed Mitt Romney? What was that for? Secretary of State?
Yep.
There's no way that Romney had a chance. The fact that Romney showed up, it was embarrassing.
But, all right.
But you knew that Trump interviewed him just to get that photo opportunity of him begging for a job. So maybe Mike McCarthy brought in Rex Ryan just to prove who wins, maybe. Rexy.
But I will say this. I was no big fan of Rex as a head coach. I think he'd make a terrific defensive coordinator. And if I'm Mike McCarthy and my job might be on fumes and I think he can help me win, don't you put all that aside? Now, if you don't think he's good enough and you want to play that game and interview him, but don't you think that would he would help the Dallas Cowboys win? I think he'd be a great defensive coordinator.
Well, he's got to be so great to get over the stuff that he said about Mike McCarthy.
You got to be better.
You got to be like Steve Spagnuolo.
You got to be that much better than every other candidate.
Now, the other thing that was reported during the Super Bowl from Adam Schefter is that there have been multiple teams that have reached out to Bill Belichick. You know, stand by. There are going to be job possibilities in 2025. Jerry Jones might have been one of those guys that reached out. I am sure there are multiple teams that did reach out. Maybe the Jets did. I mean, Bill Belichick, it sounds like Bill Belichick will have a shot in 2025, or maybe in season.
It wouldn't be smart for him to take it in season. I hear you, but I don't think that would be smart.
It depends when. All right, Dallas Cowboys job, we agree, is a good job, right?
Yeah.
Talented team. What if, like, they get blown out the first 2 weeks of the season, McCarthy gets fired? You wouldn't be tempted to take over the Dallas Cowboys that early in the season?
I'm not tempted, but I don't think Jerry Jones is that off his rocker to do that.
True. But what if somebody were to resign out of nowhere? I, 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 I think there are circumstances in which you would take the job in season, but you're probably right. You'd want to start fresh in training camp. But I think Bill might have a shot. If there are multiple teams reaching out, Michael, then I think there will be an opportunity for him to take a job next year.
So a guy on social media says, his name's John Suppa Jr. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bookmark this segment. We will revisit next season. You're trying to shoo away the back-to-back Super Bowl champs, saying they're trending down. Tough segment. John, I said that I would take the field over the Chiefs. And if you wouldn't, even as a Chiefs fan, you're out of your mind. So there's 16 teams in the AFC. You wouldn't take 15 over the Chiefs?
No, but I think he's going after me, Michael, because I was the one saying trended. I used that phrase, trending down.
Wouldn't you take the field over any team?
No, of course you would. But to back up what I said is that when you look at the larger sample size of 18 weeks, it felt like this team was trending down. Now, you take the smaller sample size, although way more important, a postseason, it's like number one with a bullet. It's been 20 years since we've had back-to-back champions. It's going to be difficult for them to win three in a row. For all the reasons I said, the landscape of the AFC is going to be tougher. You know, another year, it's so difficult to repeat, never mind do it 3 years in a row. And over the larger sample size, we did see them take some hits.
But, you want to reconsider because he's going to bookmark this segment.
Go ahead, bookmark.
You sure you want to stand by what you said?
I'm standing by everything that I say. Okay. And if I happen to be wrong, great. I'm not right 100% of the time. And if he wants to stand on the one time he happens to be right, go for it. He can leave it on his answering machine. He can play it over and over again. Call and give it to me. Have a back and forth.
I just get nervous when somebody says they're going to save a segment, bookmark it.
Well, listen,
that makes me pucker up.
Woo. Well, all I know is that, I am going to forget about this in 7 minutes. if he wants to sit on it for a year, good on him.
Hey, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Jovia-itis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, growing checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth. Hey, when I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared. I have my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course, my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition. Even when the game goes into extra innings, I refuse to settle. Neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea. Take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea. Join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's kind of interesting. So many people are saying, well, Mahomes is a GOAT over Brady. So Andy Reid also has three Super Bowls. He won all three with Mahomes. Belichick has six. Is anybody saying Andy Reid is the GOAT? No. It's just, why so quick to judge? Why so quick to give that crown away? Remember the caller earlier who was getting digestive issues every time he saw Taylor Swift on the screen?
Yes.
Almost like what Kramer did when Mary Hart would show up on the screen. So I guess the Super Bowl was about anywhere from 3:45 to 4 hours on the air. How many seconds do you think Taylor Swift was shown during the broadcast?
Actual in-game.
Yeah.
In-game in seconds, huh?
Less than 30.
No, I'm going over. I'm going to go 64.
54 seconds, less than 1% of the time.
Pretty good call by me, though, let's be honest.
It was amazing, but I'm just, why would that annoy somebody so much? Go get a beer when she's shown. And also, she's shown for about 2-3 seconds.
All right, and
it's not like they, like, you know, telestrate her.
All right, so let's say, for sake of argument, they never got together. She's not there. How many seconds do you think they would have shown Jason Kelce?
A lot. After,
right? Probably somewhere in the vicinity, right? NFL player, great player, Hall of Fame player. You know, especially if he had his shirt off and screaming and yelling, they would have shown him just as much. So would that have irritated people?
But yeah, does it irritate people when they show people in Highmark Stadium in Buffalo with their shirts off chugging beers? Does that bother you? But this young lady who's done nothing to really be offensive, that bothers people. I just don't get it. I don't get what bothers people.
But you know, because
it became a narrative.
I guess so, Peter.
But again, I'm not going to defend these people. But the one thing I can sometimes understand is that when people that normally don't care about your sport, well, whatever, you're a baseball guy, Michael, and you know it's not like people don't bang on baseball and talk about it being boring or slow or whatever, and then all of a sudden it becomes the hot thing for everything but baseball. And now people that normally wouldn't watch baseball watching it, and you could see some people that are like, where were these people before it became a thing? Like, so maybe there's a part of it that's that. Like, yeah, but she's not interested in football.
If you're a true baseball fan, right? If you're Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, you pray that Taylor Swift goes out with Anthony Volpe. You pray for that.
Anthony Volpe, wow.
Well, you want eyeballs to your sport. So if you get more people to watch football because Taylor Swift's there, isn't that great? Robert Griffin III tweeted that out. He said it's wonderful to bring more people into the tent.
Well, that's the logical way of looking at it. But you don't think that there's those purists or like, this is my sport. Why are all these people now that weren't interested in it before now interested? Because they don't care. They already know it's super popular. But like, all of a sudden they walk into work and that woman that made fun of you being a football fan is now wearing a Chiefs jersey. Maybe they get in the way about it. Like, you didn't care about it. Now, all of a sudden, she's involved in it, and you care. But I wish I remember. But
football's already just so broad. Who actually feels that way about football?
I know.
Like,
they shouldn't
feel I know
that
what
way.
It's like to be. Listen, I could see, like, if this year WWE just gets beyond big, and everyone, you know, all of a sudden, Larry David is into it. Everyone who made fun of it loves it. I could see having a moment of annoyance, yeah. Even though in the law, but it's the NFL. Everyone's into it.
I wish I remember.
So big.
I wish I remembered who it was. I think it was a former NHL player, somebody that I was following, who said that their daughter, who's like 17 years old, never watched football, never cared about football, sat and watched the entire Super Bowl with him because of Taylor Swift. And he got the biggest kick out of it because he could never get his daughter to sit and watch with him, and they had a bonding. But why can't you look at it that way?
Because that's too normal.
Well, because I think but the people that are irritated aren't bonding with their daughter. They're just Neanderthals who just love football. They're shut-ins that now feel like, oh, you've infiltrated my space.
Well, Anthony Greek just told me she was shown 12 times during the 4 hours and 8 minutes, 0.36%. Let's go to Matthew in Brooklyn. Matthew.
Of course, maybe. Hey, guys, you got to remember something. All this talk about Mahomes being the best ever. You got to remember two things. Brady beat Mahomes in Arrowhead in an AFC Championship game, and then he beat him in a Super Bowl. So for Mahomes to surpass Brady as the GOAT, it's going to take a hell of a lot.
Yes.
That's hard to overcome. Agreed. Losing to the GOAT twice.
Fair. That's a great point. That's a really good point.
And it just happened, by the way. It was old. It was the absolute oldest, worst version of Brady that beat the Chiefs.
And now, in fairness to Mahomes, he's not playing Tom Brady.
No.
First of all, he's playing Bill Belichick's defense,
but
and
we
he's
know
playing
that
Tampa Bay's defense. So it's
yeah, but
it's
people
hard.
Keep score, but people keep scoring that stupid way. Quarterback first quarterback, even when it's not that.
Let's go to Patrick in Malvern. Patrick.
Hey guys, how you doing? Great show. I just wanted to make a point about the Travis Kelce thing, and I'm make the uncomfortable point.
Okay.
But this idea that, you know, he can do that, and yeah, was he grabbing Andy's arm, and he wanted to, you know, he wasn't that aggressive, this and that. If that would have been Antonio Brown, or if that would have been Beckham, I don't think we're hearing any of that talk. I think we're hearing thug thrown around more. I think we're hearing me first diva thrown around more. And because of that, you know, I just think that it's very, very clear that we have a little bit further to go as a society right now.
Well, but let me throw this back at you, okay? And I don't know what your answer would be. What if Saquon Barkley did it?
I get what you're saying, where you're going to say Saquon doesn't have a history of it, so therefore...
Yeah, Saquon's a likable guy. See, I don't look at it as black and white. I look at it as likable or unlikable. Now, maybe some people are unliked because of the color of their skin. I can't answer to that, but I think that it's about Travis Kelce's a fun-loving, nice guy, and they have a great relationship.
And Patrick, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show. I thought it was terrible what he did. Terrible.
Yeah, no, and I think it's about a 50-50. I think there's 50% of people that think exactly the way Don thinks, which I think is the way we all should think. And I think there's another half that want every reason to not have to think that way and to throw whatever they can in one basket, and whatever doesn't fit in that basket, they can look, see. So I think it's a very interesting dichotomy right now.
Yeah, but I tend to agree with Don. I don't know if it's a black-white thing other than the fact that Kelce is considered a nice guy. And I don't think that anybody would say anything if Saquon did it. Although I think Brian Daboll wouldn't take it as well as Andy Reid.
Yeah, that's – well, and the history between the coach and player – the history between coach and player is a big thing. I mean, listen, I understand the caller's point. Everything in this country, it has a piece of that there. And Don, I think you would agree. The likelihood of you being Travis Kelce and being this white offensive player, the likelihood for you being widely liked is higher because he's white. Like, that is built into the equation. But I do think specifically in this case, if yesterday it had been an unknown player of any race or a player with a bad reputation of any race, it would have been seen as worse than this guy who has a pretty pristine reputation getting into it with his coach, who you know he has a good
But he doesn't have a pristine reputation for controlling his emotions. He's throwing the helmet a couple of times. He has a pristine reputation. You know why? Because he goes out with what many consider to be a pristine person.
Oh, listen, whoa. Again,
I don't know if he was thought of like that before.
I mean, when I say pristine reputation, I'm not saying he's never acted like a jerk in any way, but I don't recall him ever cheap-shotting anyone, ever saying bad things, ever throwing teammates under the bus, ever bad-mouthing Andy Reid. Like, he's seen as a really good quality chief who's an important part of that team, and you've never had any reason to think him and Andy Reid don't get along great.
And I think Andy Reid diffused it by not reacting.
That, too.
If he reacted, then it would have been a big thing.
But by the way, you know, even though it turned out that the A.J. Brown tweet earlier was fake, and it was not from him, this idea that a player who has a little bit more controversy in their past, and specifically if you're talking about race in America, a black wide receiver versus a white tight end, yeah, I could see what people are saying. There are plenty of players where if it happened, it would be a bigger deal. Antonio Brown? Yeah, the police would have been called into the stadium. Saquon Barkley? I don't really think it's that big a deal. So it's not as simple.
I actually think if Gronk did it to Belichick, it would be a big deal.
Well, Belichick doesn't have the sort of friendly old dad vibe of Andy Reid.
See, that's the thing, is that Andy Reid is not a disciplinarian. So it probably wasn't even that big of a deal to him. And you know the fine line between all the competitive spirit and bad guy. When Paul O'Neill was breaking bats and throwing Gatorade jugs, it was because he was a winner and he hated to lose. And everybody loved Paul. But if somebody you didn't love, somebody that wasn't known to be as competitive does it, then he's a yo-yo. So it all depends on how much you like the person and the person's reputation. I think that is the first and foremost, but unfortunately, there are some people that don't like someone because of the color of their skin. But I think on the surface, it's just Kelsey's likable. They've got a great relationship. It was diffused immediately, so that's why it was no big deal.
Don, tell us about Samwell, would you please?
Please. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shah. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from doing all the things that you love. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shah today at Samwell Pain. Dr. Jay Shah treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, and nerve pain. Dr. Shah is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shah to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without the pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free. Same day and next day appointments available. Go to SamwellPain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shah. Go to SamwellPain.com. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samwell Pain now has 3 convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamwellPain.com. You'll wish you met Dr. Shah sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Well, do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness? Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step? Catch Jovia-itis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, grow checking account balances, and reduced rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
You know, Mahomes is the GOAT. Listen, he has the same amount of Super Bowls as Tom Brady had at the age of 28. There's still 4 more to go to tie the guy. I mean, talk about like the bias of recency. What are we doing here? Do we have to make these proclamations all the time that this guy is the GOAT? Take a look at what Dan Marino used to do, what John Elway used to do, what Joe Montana did. Listen, this guy's one of the greatest. I don't think you're going out on a limb, but for anybody to say with such unbelievable certitude, he's now the GOAT. No, he he's not. Ah, I won last week, and I feel good about this week. For me to win on a football Monday, which is usually dominated by Dominic, it's really unbelievable.
Who is Dominic?
You, Dom LaGreca.
Dominic Dom LaGreca, yeah, sure.
Now, Don, I know your answer. Peter, you're having a party, so I think I know your answer. Anybody out there that had a chance to see what was on CBS yesterday at 1 o'clock, it was extraordinary television. Don, it was You Are Looking Live. Remember that guy, Rich Podolsky, that we had on that wrote the book?
Oh, yeah.
This was kind of like a documentary of the book and a live interview with the, not live interview, but an interview with the Brent. And an interview with Jane Kennedy. I mean, it was so good. And I don't think people today, people not of our age, I don't even know if Peter realizes it. That was such an unbelievable program, a seminal program, and really played a large role in the NFL becoming as big as it was. If you have a chance, go to Paramount Plus, whatever. I'm not getting paid anything for the. It's an extraordinary hour of television.
I want to check it out because I read the book and I didn't care for the book. I mean,
I
love the stories. I thought it was a little too technical, a little too detailed.
Yeah, this isn't.
That didn't keep my. I finished the book and there was a lot of cool stories in there, but I'd love to be able to see it condensed into a documentary. I'm looking forward to that.
You know what? People want to know, Don. Where are you on Walters?
Walters?
Yeah, Barbara, Babs.
You mean Streisand?
Sorry, yeah, Streisand.
You got your Babs confused. I'm on page 370. She just finished up The Way We Were.
Don, it's a 1,000-page book. What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
What do you mean?
You're not reading it fast enough.
He's not at his normal pace.
I'll read when I read. I read at the same pace. This one's going to take longer because it's 1,000 pages, but... You know, I read during my daily constitutional, and I read before I go to bed. And if I get up early before the alarm, I'll read a little bit there.
I have a family to run.
I got a show to do. I got podcasts to record. I've got Rangers to cover.
Have you ever considered perhaps maybe adding some fiber to the diet so you get in there a couple more times a day?
A little Metamucil.
You could set your watch to me because of what you just said. Benefiber is what I use. I recommend it highly to people of a certain age because, listen, you can set your watch to me.
That is beautiful. It's a great way to live.
What Peter's saying is maybe if you go more, you could read more.
Exactly. I was saying that.
I'm doing fine. I like the pace that I'm at. If I had one complaint about the book, she gets a little bit too much into her wardrobe, but all right.
Any mention of Bob Mackey?
No. She hasn't worked with Bob Mackey yet.
I heard that there's a lot of sex in the book.
Well, she doesn't use the word, but she was with Pierre Trudeau. Ryan O'Neill.
We knew.
Sidney Chaplin, who's...
Charlie's son.
So, no, listen.
But you're only 370 in.
I'm only 370 in. I mean,
Didn't she supposedly have something with Bob Dylan, too?
I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm right now late 72, early 73. So a lot of life to live still.
Let's go to Rich in Monroe. Rich.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? You?
Good. I just have a quick question. Especially since you guys said you would take the field against the Chiefs. What quarterback next year do you think knocks off Mahomes and the Chiefs? Personally, Allen, Burrow, Lamar. I think I would take Allen, but I just want to see what you guys think.
Well, Allen is one of the ones that has beaten him, right, Don, in the playoffs? Allen once, and then... Oh, no, it was Burrow.
No, Burrow.
Burrow beat, and then
Burrow
Brady.
Once. Has, yeah,
no. I think a healthy Burrow would scare me the most if I'm the Chiefs.
No, I don't see any reason why the Ravens can't get better. I'll almost beat them this year. Could a healthy Dolphin team... put a scare into them because they were not healthy for that game. I'd still say the Ravens right now.
Really?
See, I think they've got the Ravens number. And also you're going to put your faith in Lamar Jackson winning a big game until he does, like Shanahan, until he wins a big game as a coach, you're not going to think he's a big game coach.
Yeah. I just have a feeling that that's still a really good football team that's only going to get better. And I think Lamar can get there. But you still take the field because you've got Burrow, you've got Allen, you've got Lamar. And again, I think the teams in the West are going to get better. What's Trevor Lawrence going to become, guys? If he stayed healthy all year, Jacksonville goes to the playoffs for a second consecutive year.
And I don't know if you heard, Don, Peter embarrassed Sal Palantonio on Friday.
Because of the Jacksonville take?
Yeah.
Well, but there's a reason. They were doing well, weren't they? They got off to a great start.
Don. I said that. Michael is making it sound like I was mean. I did the right thing as a radio host. Okay. I didn't sit there and cower and not play something that could make for good content. Now, I'm with Michael. I don't think it played well. I don't think Sal was particularly into it. But you know what, Don? That's on him. This is sports talk radio. You got to take a take back. You got to hear it.
Let's
put it this way. I have a pretty good relationship with Sal. You know, he's a big Yankee fan, whatever. And we text every now and then. So after what Peter did, I texted him, kind of kidding on the square. I said, "Sorry, I didn't know that was going to happen." No answer back.
I didn't hear it, but I could. I've done this long enough to know how it sounded.
Anthony, just to weigh in, Anthony, would you say that I really made it as nice and clean as humanly possible?
I think we'll never get him again.
Well, I mean, and I'm
I didn't ask that. I didn't ask that. Did I not cover my bases, though, and say, I understand, they looked good, what do you think happened?
Come on, man.
I was a gentleman.
We're big boys here. He made a bold statement, and I give him credit for it, to say Jacksonville is going to be the one seed. That's saying something. So you don't think it's going to get thrown back at you when that team doesn't make the playoffs?
But you're
a part of the show, man. You're a significant person who had a significant opinion. You did the right thing, Peter, even if it costs never having him on again.
Thank you.
Listen, because you're in on good radio. You know how I stand. Michael, right, I'm not sure. I don't care about personal relationships. They come and go. I like Sal a lot, but for good radio, gone.
You know, it's a complete crap.
When you're speaking of good radio, Don, you miss Steve Young, his return.
Oh, my God. That was special.
Yeah.
Oh, my. We teared up. We all teared up. Oh.
Yeah. He said he loved us. And you know what was startling to me, Peter? I wonder if you thought that. At no point did he say, "Where's Don?" At no point did he ever say that.
You know what?
Well,
it is an interesting point.
I'm not surprised. It's very fluid. I think he likes me, but he's not keeping score on who's talking to all the time.
Peter. I mean, he knew exactly who was talking.
Yeah, and if I was there, he would have said Don. But the fact that I'm not there is not going to move his world. The fact that you enjoyed it so much is what bothers me.
If you want to see the Beatles in person, right? And John Lennon wasn't there. You'd know, John Lennon's not here. You're John Lennon.
You're going full Lennon for Don.
Yeah. He's not George Harrison. He's either Paul or John.
He's not John. He can't be John. You know how I feel.
So who is John?
Who is he?
It can't be you.
Michael's John.
All right. I'll take Paul.
I would say that Paul McCartney was bigger than John, but with this.
Yeah, but we've had this fight before, yeah, and you're wrong.
Now, so did Anthony tell him pre-interview there's no Don?
Ant? Did you, Ant?
I said Michael and Peter.
All right, well, there you go. Yes.
So what did he say, like, Don passed away in a fiery crash?
No, I think he would have found out about that.
Didn't say that, no.
Oh, by the way, Steve, it's going to be Peter and Michael. Don is no longer with us. All right, you're going up.
Holy crap.
If that happened
and then he didn't say anything, that would be disconcerting.
No, if that happened, then I could see him not saying something. But the fact that you were conspicuously absent, why not bring it up and go, Don?
I don't think he thinks that way, that I was absent.
How do you know how he thinks?
Because he's probably like, all right, I'm talking to Don and Mike. I mean, what about Michael and Peter? What does he keep score? Maybe he thinks I'm off every Friday. I don't know. He's not that in touch with the show that it's that jarring that I'm not on. You know how many times, Peter, from the summer, Michael's not on? Does every guest acknowledge Michael's not there?
Michael's not there. Joe Dumars did.
Because I'm a good host. I will always acknowledge Michael's not here. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you say it's Don and Peter and Don's off today?
First of all, I said at the beginning, Don's not here today. I just felt it was very uncomfortable to get into why. I just said Don's dealing with a family issue.
And that was accurate.
Right. So that's all.
Nobody's business what was going on. But you could have mentioned to Steve I wasn't there.
No. He heard that you didn't ask a question. You either are all out or you're not there.
All right. Well, remember this, Peter, in the summer.
I'm
when
not
Michael
taking
has
off
this copious amount of time. But listen,
I am not taking off that much
right,
in the summer.
But it's all relative to when you took the entire summer off. But you're going to be gone for most of the summer.
No,
I'm not
going
to acknowledge
wrong.
You're not there.
I think you're wrong. You'll see. Hey, do you want an experience? We'll do you want to experience an inflammation of money and happiness?
No.
Watch your bank account grow with an extra pep in your step. Catch Jovia-itis, a side effect of not-for-profit banking with Jovia Financial Credit Union. When you bank with Jovia, you may see an increase in savings, grow checking account balances, and reduce rates on loans. Symptoms may include greater happiness, reduced stress, and general feelings of financial freedom. Join Jovia and start spreading the wealth. Hey, to score a touchdown, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right, so visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location, the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by, you'll get the Michael K. treatment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.